Hare Krishna, thank you for coming here this Saturday evening. Too much winter, hopefully, for some people maybe, not for everybody. Okay, so I guess we are still missing a lot of people, but they will keep coming slowly, slowly, hopefully. So we'll start with the invocation prayers. If you want to recite with me. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurahatishe Nama Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhakta Vataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare okay. Hare Krishna. So today we are planning to cover this very important and a little catchy topic for some people. The title itself seems to be a little catchy. When bad thing happen to good people, or some people say, okay, why do bad thing happen to good people, or vice versa. So I know for some people you may have already discussed this topic, or you may have heard a lot of things on this topic. But for some of you, it may be very new to understand the basic principles. So, just to start with, the first question comes, or most of you may have gone through that question. If you have gone through that question, just raise your hand. Do we say sometime, why me? Have you said that in any stage of your life, why me? Right? So, most of you agree. So we do say, why me? Why did this happen to me? For example, sometimes some child is studying in the school. He works way hard. Throughout their school year, he works hard. At the end, he fails. There may be another child who did not study at all, or very less study, just enjoying all year. And at the end, he gets very good grades. So the other kid may be wondering, why me? I'm studying so hard. Why I'm not able to achieve? Sometime there is some person don't have a job. Somebody is looking for a job. He's struggling to find a job. And there is another person in the office. There is another situation. Somebody is looking for a promotion. And the person who is working too hard to get promotion, he doesn't get promoted. On the other side, the other person, he gets promotion. And this person is wondering, oh, I'm doing so hard work. And this person is just licking the boss, doing chamchagiri, buttering, and he gets the promotion. So all these situations happen in life. And the question comes, why me? Why did this happen to me? What did I do wrong? Right? So this question comes, and then persons start wondering, is there any law and order? Why all these things happening? Are these things happening just out of no reason? Or what is the cause behind this? So when this question comes, I'm just showing some examples here. So, you know, there was a tsunami a few years back. And Chennai and some other parts suffered quite a bit. There was a lot of damage to the property, a lot of people lost their lives. So when these kind of things happen, so when this tsunami was done, there was a reporter going in that area which was suffered or affected by tsunami. So she was asking people, okay, why did this, what do you think, or what is your reaction to this kind of event? And a lot of people, so generally this word karma, people have known this word, people understand this word, or not to say understand, at least people know this word, and immediately this question comes, oh, it's karma. So this reporter was going through asking some people some question, and she said, okay, there are a lot of small kids which died in that, and there are people. So she came to her conclusion was that, okay, you know, there is karma. We can understand people who are older people. Maybe they did something wrong in their life, so they are suffering because of that. But what about these small children, these small kids? What did they do wrong? They are just few years, 4, 5, 6 years old. What did they do wrong that they are suffering? So the principle of karma, even though people may know the word, actually this word karma has entered into a Oxford dictionary. It is globally recognized word, karma. In office also, even Western people, you will hear them talking, oh, this is karma. But they don't understand what is the details, complications of understanding this principle of karma. Right now, this karma word has become so famous. There is a product also with this name. If you go to a grocery store, you will find a milk or some other products. It says good karma. So there is a milk called good karma milk. Okay? Or there are some other products called karma free. So good karma, karma free. So these are the product names these days. So this is globally recognized word, but even though people may not understand in depth or in reality what this karma principle mean. So this reporter, she was kind of concluding that, okay, people, elderly people, maybe they did something wrong, that's how they are suffering, but what about the small children? What did they do wrong? So this question comes, you know, about Charles Darwin. Charles Darwin gave the, everybody know the theory of Charles Darwin, the origin of species. But how many of you know the background behind that, or his background life of Charles Darwin? Everybody know Charles Darwin as a great scientist and all that. So in his early years of life, Darwin was actually a devout Christian. So he was a very devoted person. He and his wife. So they both will attend the church programs regularly. They will hear to the spiritual talks and all that. So he has faith in God. But there are a few events happened in his life which turned him off, which kind of made him not believe in God. So when he was attending the church programs, the summons given in the church. So he, first thing which happened is, okay, all these people who are talking big philosophy, talking about God and all that, who are managing the church, they're supposed to be worldly, materially renounced people. But he saw people trying to get so much control, okay, trying to acquire control and control people. So he thought, why something like that? And when talk about spirituality, there are so many times we talk about miracles. Miracle happening, right? Oh, something like this miracle happened, that miracle happened. And he never saw any miracle happen in the real life. So he was always doubting, okay, is this real? Is there really something like that? And the third thing which happened, it completely turned him off, which was He has a young daughter, and when his daughter was about 10 years old, she died out of a disease. And out of that event, he completely lost faith in God. He says he already had doubt about the controllership of God, and then he started doubting, is God really merciful? Is he really loving? And he had his doubts, and he was already working on his theories of what we know as origin of species, right? How the species came. But he never came forward with those ideas because of his belief in God or existence of God. But now when this event happened, he completely denied the existence of God. This is sometimes happened when something wrong happens to you. When something wrong happens in somebody's life, they get onto another mission. Okay, God did something wrong to me. I will destroy the belief in God. I will not believe in God by myself, and I will have others also not believe in God. In the movie, sometimes these dialogues come, right? Oh, you did this to me. Aapne mere saath aisa kiya, main aapki hasti mita dunga. So, he was on that mission. So, I will prove God does not exist and God is not the controller. So, that was the basis of his theory of this origin of species. That everything is coming by chance and everything is working automatically. God is not the creator, so everything came by chance. All these species came by chance, and if one species evolved into another species, and there is no control behind anything. So this was, so in scientific world, I have also done a lot of research during my PhD work. So when somebody is doing any research, how the research start? First thing is, conclusion is already derived. And then the whole research is actually to fulfill that conclusion. To make sure that we come to that conclusion. So sometimes the conclusion is already drawn, and then we are working towards meeting to that conclusion. So he already had drawn the conclusion, God does not exist, God is not the controller. And all his research work is to prove that point. And that is how all this origin of species came, all this theory of evolution came. I don't believe in God, and I will prove that God does not exist. So that was Charles Darwin's statement, that this journal happened, right? Something wrong happens, people stop believing in God, and they want to make others also not have faith in God. There is another similar situation. There was another priest, Christian priest, with the name Harold Kushner. He also had a similar situation. So he was a rabbi. So in Christian priests, to some level, when they are at a certain level, it's called rabbi. So he was a Christian rabbi. So he used to preach Christian gospel, and he dedicated all his life in that. So his son also, he had a son, and he got the disease of progeria. So progeria disease is somebody, the child, he becomes overage. He starts looking overage. At the age of 7, he looks like 70 years old. So by the time he grows 8, 9, he looks like 80, 90, and he dies looking like an old person. So it's like the same concept which is shown in Pa movie, right? They showed the same concept where this person grows 8, 9 years old, looks like 80, 90, and he looks like that old person. So his son got this disease, progeria, and he, at the age of 9, he died. Now, in Christianity, they believe in God, understanding three main principles, three main aspects of God. One is, God is all-knowing. He knows everything. Second is, God is all-loving. Third is, God is all-powerful. So he started questioning, oh, I'm such a nice person. I'm such a believer in God. I did all my life, I just prayed to God and I preached about him. And why did this happen to me? Why did this so bad thing happen to me that my son died at an early age? So if God is all-knowing, he should know. He must know that this is going to happen. And if he knew, why didn't he do anything to stop this? So maybe he is not all-knowing. But if he is all-knowing, maybe he is not all-loving. Because what kind of father he is, if he knows something bad going to happen, and he did not do anything to save. So maybe he is not all-loving. But if he is all-loving, maybe he is not all-powerful. But he knew, he loved, he wanted to save, But it was out of his control, that he could not save. Maybe there is some other power which is more powerful than God. That is the concept in Christianity. They call Satan. There is an evil force. Sometimes it becomes overpowered and even God becomes helpless. So there are three stages of believing in God. First is outright atheist. Right? I do not believe in existence of God. I do not believe in God and He is not the creator and the controller. That is atheist. Second is confusion. Second stage is confusion. Oh, I don't know if God exists or not. If God is all the controller or not. Third thing is the theistic. Theism means I believe in God. I know He is the creator. He is my source. And He is most loving and He is the most powerful. He can do anything. That is theistic. And there is another theory, deistic. Deistic is people say, yes, I believe God is the source. He is the source of the origin. But He is not the controller. Somehow God created everything, but then the things went out of His control. So there are different theories people come forward to understand this principle. So God is all-knowing, He is all-powerful, and He is all-loving. But now this person, that's how this book, he wrote a book, When Bad Things Happen to Good People. And this is the title of our today's discussion also. So he came up with this conclusion, okay, maybe God is not all-powerful, there is some higher power where God becomes helpless. So people with their limited understanding, they try to come to different conclusions to understand this phenomena, what all these things are happening. There is another story from our Vedic scriptures, from Bhagavatam. Everybody know Vidura from Mahabharata? So who was Vidura? So he was a minister, right? He was a stepbrother for Dhritarashtra and Pandu. He was the uncle for the Pandavas. But anybody knows the original Savarup of Vidura? Who he was in actually? So Vidura is actually Yamaraj, Dharmaraj, who does all the calculations of somebody's pious and sinful activities and punishes them accordingly. So Vidura is Dharmaraj in his original position. So once there was a Rishi, Mandvaka Rishi. Okay? Mandvaka Rishi was a great sage doing a lot of austerities. So when this Mandvaka Rishi was present, he was doing a lot of austerities in her hermitage. And in that time, the king, in the kingdom, in that city, so there was a theft in the king's palace. And the thieves, after stealing everything, they ran to the forest. And the soldiers of the king, they were chasing these thieves. And the thieves entered into the hermitage of this Mandvaka Rishi, who was absorbed in his meditation. So he did not know what is happening. So all these thieves went into Mandvaka Rishi's hermitage and they left all the stolen items there. The soldiers came running behind them. They saw the thieves enter into this hermitage. They also chased them. They entered there. All the thieves left from the behind, but Mandvaka Rishi was sitting there. So the thieves thought this person, so they found all those stolen items there. They thought this person is acting up like a sage. Actually, he is the leader of all these thieves. So they caught this Mandvaka Rishi. So they caught him and they brought him to the king. They said, okay, this person is the thief and you should punish him. He is the leader of the thieves. So this king, he thought, okay, the punishment for this is put him on the suli. So this suli is different than what we know as fancy. The suli word, actually they came from that, but it's not the same thing. So fancy, which we know as you hang till death, right? They had this law of hang the person till death. Suli was a little different than that. What they do is they put a very sharp rod, which is pointed at one end. So they put it in the ground, sharp ends pointing upward, and then they put that person on the tip of that shul. So by the weight of that person, he is going down, 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 and that sharp edge is piercing through the body, and ultimately it comes out from the head. So that was the punishment given who is breaking the law, as a death sentence basically. So the king said, put this person on the suli. So they put him on the suli. You can see in this picture here how the people are put onto that. So this Mandvaka Rishi was put on that, but out of his mystic power, so this shul just pierced little bit, little pinching, but it did not go through that. He stopped the shul there with his mystic power. And after a long time, when this is nothing is happening, all these soldiers are a little confused what's happening. They went to the king. Oh, looks like he's really some mystic person, a renowned sage. So the king came running. Said, oh, please forgive me. I did this thing. I didn't know who you are. Now I came to know you are the powerful Mandvaka Rishi. Please forgive me. All these soldiers told me that you are the leader of the thieves. I did not know. So the Mandvaka Rishi said, that's okay. It's not your fault. You were doing your duty. But whatever happens in our life, whatever good or bad happens in our life, somebody is taking the accounts. And that is Yamaraj. So what happened to me was decided by somebody, decided by him, that I have to suffer this reaction or suffer this piercing of this sharp object. But so he went to Yamaraj with his mystic power. He went to Yamaraj and he asked him, as far as I know, with my understanding, with my whatever I can look back in the past, I have not done anything wrong in my life. Why I had to go through this reaction? Why I had to suffer? I was put onto this shul as a death sentence. So Yamaraj told him, when you were a very little child, when you were playing one day in the garden, and with a sharp needle, you were piercing in the body of an insect. So that insect was suffering the piercing of that needle, and you had to get the reaction of getting a sharp object piercing, needle piercing into your body to get the reaction of that. So this Mandvaka Rishi, so as I said earlier, right, people try to understand with their understanding, they see what I think that is right. So Mandvaka Rishi said, if somebody as a small child did something wrong, he should not be punished for that. You are not fit for this job. You don't know what is right and what is wrong. Who should be punished? You are not fit for this job. I curse you to take birth on earth as a Shudra, where you will try to make peace between people, try to make justice between people, and nobody will listen to you. So even though Yamaraj knew what he was doing, okay, it is his job, he is doing his duty, but he accepted his curse, because all these demigods we described earlier, all these Devi Devatas, they are also devotees of the Lord, devotees of Lord Krishna. So with Yamaraj thought, my worshipable Lord, Lord Krishna, he is personally going to descend on earth, and it's the best opportunity. Let me also go and take part in this pastimes when Lord is himself present there. So he accepted that curse, even though he was not at fault. So he accepted, and that's how he was born as a Shudra, through a maid servant. And in that situation, Vidura, he was always trying to make justice between the Pandavas and Kauravas. The Kauravas are the unrighteous people, Pandavas are the righteous people, and he is always trying to make peace between them, and the Kauravas are not willing to listen. So that was the story of Yamaraj, Vidura, how the karma principle acts. Even though people try to understand from their own limited understanding, limited vision. And on the same time, this story points to one another important aspect also, that a little or a bigger action, doesn't matter what kind of action it is, either it is done intentionally or non-intentionally, it brings reaction. We cannot escape saying, oh, I didn't know that I have to suffer from this, for this reaction, for this action. So we'll discuss that more in detail later, but just to give you a hint. Now, but how do we understand all this, the whole concept in full clarity? So what do you see here is a puzzle. So this whole concept of the karma principle, why do bad things happen to good people? or whatever is happening all around us. This is also like a big puzzle to understand everything. Who am I? Who is God? Whole karma principle and all that. This is also like a big puzzle. So to understand it clearly, we need to put the pieces of the puzzle together. When you put all the pieces nicely, perfectly, a nice picture appears. Right? And then you can see, oh, this is the picture of a nice house or a picture of a circus or whatever it is. But when it is all pieces scattered to all here and there, it's hard to understand. So same way, all these concepts, if we understand systematically, it becomes very clear picture. All the pieces of the puzzles put together, it becomes very clear. So to understand that, that's how Krishna spoke this Bhagavad Gita. To make this whole puzzle completely solved, completely clear. So there are five major topics discussed in Bhagavad Gita. These five topics are Ishvara, Jiva, Prakriti, Kala and Karma. So Ishvara is who is God, does God exist and who is God? Jiva is who am I, what is my real identity, who am I? So most of you may have known all this from all previous sessions we have discussed. So today, to understand this whole principle, we are going to cover these three topics. And we will see how much we can cover. It may not be possible to cover everything in one session for this topic. I will try to split it into two sessions. Unless you want to stay here for 3 hours. So when, just another thing. When Parikshit Maharaj heard Bhagavatam, it was spoken 24/7. 24 hours a day for 7 days. And nobody felt hunger, thirst and tired. Nobody was tired. Now in India, when they do Bhagavad Katha, nobody has the capacity to sit for all 24 hours. At the max, it's 3 hours at a stretch. So 3-hour session in the morning, 3-hour session in the evening. And in Western worlds, our situation is we have a limited capacity for 45 minutes to 1 hour. Right? So we'll try to split this session in two, but at least maybe still it will be 1 hour, 75 minutes or so. You have to bear with me. So these five topics, Ishvara, Jiva, Prakriti, Kala and Karma. So to understand all this, let's first discuss what is this Prakriti? What is this whole material creation? So if we look at the whole creation, it says the 1/4 of the whole creation, only 1/4 is the material world. And 3/4 is the spiritual world. Spiritual world means the kingdom of God. And only 1/4 is the material world. So in that 1/4 of the material creation, there are innumerable universes. In those innumerable universes, if you take one universe, that universe, there are innumerable planets. Out of those innumerable planets, there is one planet Earth. On that one planet Earth, there are so many countries. Out of that, there is one country, USA. In USA, there are so many states and cities. Out of that, there is one city, Metro Detroit. And in that Metro Detroit, there are so many suburbs. In that suburb, there are so many houses. And in one house, in the basement of one house, we are sitting here. And sometime, we get this feeling, oh, I'm so special. Right? I'm so great. People should respect me. People should obey me. People should follow what I say. So that is the how insignificant we are if we compare to this whole creation, this whole universe. And that we still get that ego of superiority. So just to give you a glimpse, the whole creation, 1/4 is the material world. And that is like one universe is like one mustard seed. If you take a bag of mustard seeds, and one universe is like one seed in the bags of mustard seed. So that is the whole creation, and the living entity within this material world came from the spiritual world. So all the living entities, all of us, we originally belonged in the spiritual world. And we have chose to come to this material world. So we came from the spiritual world. Everybody was with Krishna originally. So in that 3/4 of the whole spiritual world, there are so many universes or so many planets called Vaikuntha planets. And top of that is the Goloka Vrindavan, the topmost planet where Lord Krishna personally resides. And in that Goloka Vrindavan, it's like a lotus petals, lotus shape. And the whirl of that lotus, where is the residence of Lord Krishna. So originally everybody belonged to the spiritual world. Vaikuntha, Vaikuntha itself means Vaikuntha. Kuntha means anxiety. Vaikuntha means which is free from anxiety. That is Vaikuntha. And this material world is called Kuntha Jagat, which is full of anxiety, full of miseries. So Kuntha Jagat and Vaikuntha. So the spiritual world, Krishna defines, it says, Na tad bhasyate suryo, na shashanko, na pavaka, yad gatva na nivartante, tad dham paramam mama. So my spiritual world is the topmost place. Once one attains that planet, nobody returns back to this material world. And how that spiritual world look like? So Krishna says, Na tad bhasyate suryo, there is no need for sun. It is self-illuminating. There is no need for the fire. There is no need for the air. All these are material elements. So we originally belong to that spiritual world. And then why did we choose to come to this material world? Why did we come to this material world if we were originally in spiritual world? So Krishna describes again in Bhagavad Gita. It's 727 if you want to look into Bhagavad Gita. Ichcha dvesha samuttena dvanda mehayena bharata sarva bhutani sammoham sarge yanti parantapah. So all the living entities, why they were sent to this material world? Ichcha and dvesha. When we got the desire to enjoy separate from the Supreme Lord, and when we got the envy from the Supreme Lord, why only Krishna should be in the center? I should be in the center. I should enjoy. People should serve me. I want to enjoy separate from Krishna. So when this thought comes, so immediately Krishna says, okay, you want to be the supreme controller, you want to be the God, but unfortunately, nobody will accept you here in the spiritual world. Here, people recognize only me as the Supreme Lord. Nobody is going to accept you. If you want to be the controller, if you want to be the enjoyer, if you want to be the Supreme Lord, I can send you somewhere else where you can try to enjoy, separate from me. And that is where Krishna has created all this material world, where the living entities are sent when we have the tendency to enjoy separate from Krishna, when there is an envious tendency towards the Supreme Lord. In Christianity, they give a example or the story of Adam and Eve. So Adam and Eve's story actually reflect this point. But there is another fault in that story. People think, okay, only Adam and Eve were the original person who committed a sin and who had to come. And we all came from those Adam and Eve and we are tainted with that original sin. But actually, as per the Vedic understanding, everybody belonged to the spiritual world. And everybody in this material world has come because of that tendency. So what is this Adam and Eve story? So Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. So once Eve, she was kind of attracted by a snake on the tree. It says, come, listen to me, eat this apple. So Eve said, no, God has forbidden us to eat the fruit from this tree. The snake said, you know why? Why God has forbidden you to eat the fruit from this tree? Because He's envious of you. If you eat the fruit of this tree, you will also become God. And He does not want any competition. But you should come and try this. So Eve, she tried that apple. And she not only tried by herself, she gave it to Adam also. And as soon as they ate the apple, the few things happened. One thing they realized, so immediately the duality came. Earlier there was no duality. So duality came that I am male, he is female. Okay? Earlier they did not have any duality of male, female. Immediately they recognized, oh, we are naked. And the third thing happened, they started falling down from that garden. So what this whole story emphasizes, it's the same principle. When there was a tendency to enjoy separate from God, envious from God, we are sent into this material world to try to enjoy separate from God. Krishna says, okay, you want to enjoy? I will send you to a place in this material world. You can try to be the Lord. So many people came, right? We have the example of so many people. People came in this material world. So many powerful people who try to control everything, who try to control the whole world. There was Napoleon, Alexander, Hitler, right? So many personalities came who wanted to be the controller, who wanted to handle everything. Even all the politicians, what they do? They try to do the same thing. They want to get onto that high seat, thinking that, oh, I want to be the controller. I want to be the enjoyer. So, we came to this material world out of our own desire to enjoy separate from God because of the envy. Now, why Krishna sends to this place? Just illustrate with this one example here. So, when a child... Okay, let me ask a question. If you are a very little daughter, a little child, ask you, I want to help you in cooking or I want to cook in the kitchen. How many of you will allow them to cook in the kitchen? Little baby, 3-4 year old. I want to handle the stove. I want to cut the vegetables for you. How many of you will allow them? No, right? Why? Because you know it's dangerous for them. Handling the stove is dangerous. Handling the real knife is dangerous. So what do the parents do? They bring a toy kitchen. Toy utensils. Okay, you want to cook? Here is your kitchen. You cook in this one. So the child is playing with that toy kitchen, handling all that stove and mop knife and everything, cutting vegetables, cooking. So this child may be cooking different varieties. But at the end, what happens? When he gets hungry, when the child gets hungry, will the child eat whatever he has cooked in the toy kitchen? Comes to mama. Mama, I am hungry now. Give me some food. And will mommy say, no, you cooked so many things in your kitchen. Why don't you eat that? And actually, we will also come. We will take a break today and we will also come and join you. We will eat whatever you have cooked. No, so they give the child that play kitchen to play with. So this is what this whole material world is like. This material world is like a toy for the rebellious living entities to play around in this material world, try to be the enjoyer, try to do independent of God. And so how is this material world, or where does the soul end up? How this soul material world is planned like? Is this a very happy place? In this material world, is this a very happy place? Everybody is enjoying, no problem in life? Anybody without any problems? Please raise your hands. At least we have one person who does not have any problem. Okay, so that was a mistake. She heard who has a problem.
She's enjoying with problems.
Vishal, one more thing. We also thought there is a problem in Vaikuntha Arna.
Okay, we'll come to that point. So, this material world, we came from the spiritual world. We are sent into this material world out of our desire to enjoy. So how does this material world is like? Is this a happy place? So where did we end up? So Krishna says this material world describes very wonderful qualities of this material world. One is dukkhalaya. So Krishna describes this material world is not a happy place. Don't try to get comfortable here. It's a place of misery, dukkhalaya. Alaya is like a home and dukkha means suffering. So this material world is a home for suffering. It's designed like that. It's designed for suffering actually. So people may think, oh, right now I don't have any misery, I don't have any problem. But another misery is just around the corner. the happiness does not last for long. Even though somebody will think, oh, my life is like that. And sometimes some people become so conditioned. They think, oh, it's part of life. Why to worry about that? Just enjoy whatever little flickering enjoyment is there. So the enjoyment in this material world is like a sandwich. If people eat big sandwich, there's a big bread, big layer of bread on top and bottom. And in the middle, there is a slight layer of butter. When you bite on that, there is all bread and only in the middle when you go reach there is a little taste there. And the person think, oh wow, it's so enjoyable, so nice. So this material world is also like that. There is, most of the time, there is one or another suffering. There are three type of miseries we discussed. Adi bhautik klesh, adi atmik klesh, adi devik klesh. The problems of old age, death, disease. So all these sufferings are there. In between, there are moments of happiness. So this place is Dukhalaya, and even if there is a flickering happiness, a little bit happiness there, Krishna says another characteristic. What is that? Ashashvatam. Temporary. Even if there is a little happiness, it's not permanent. It's temporary. The person may be walking, immediately steps on a banana peel. He may be reading his, enjoying something on the phone or something, watching some funny cartoon, and then he gets the big fun. So this place is Dukhalaya and Ashashvatam. And what are other characteristics? So sometimes people see this world, when we say, right, all this suffering happening in this world, people blame God. Why did you create this material world? When we don't have understanding, people blame God. Why did you create this world? Why did you send me here? Why did you put so much suffering in my life? So there was a Hindi song in a very old movie. I don't know the name of the movie. But there was a song. I just put some lyrics of that song. It says, Duniya banane wale tere man mein ye kya aayi? Kahe ko tune ye duniya banayi? Kahe banaye tune maati ke putle? Dharti ye pyari pyari mukhde ye ujle? काहे बनाया तूने दुनिया का खेला जिसमें लगाया जवानी का मेला गुपचुप तमाशा देखे बाहरे तेरी खुदाई काहे को ये दुनिया बनाई. So what is this? First thing is blaming God. Why did you create this world? And when you have created this world, why did you put so much suffering in this? And now you are just watching it as a mock spectator, right? गुपचुप तमाशा देखे. You are just watching. Like sometimes a drama is happening and the director of the drama, the producer of the drama, is just watching the drama from behind the stage, whatever is happening. So people think, oh, Bhagwan ne duniya banai, he created this whole this material world and he is just enjoying. People are suffering in this world and God is enjoying. So it's like there is some time. See, another 30, 40, 50 years back, I know personally, there are people in villages at least. People used to fight or have chickens or goats fight. Right? Bakra ladate hain aur murga ladate hain. So what is that? They are making this chicken fight and they are enjoying seeing these chickens fight. And on top of that, sometimes they put a small knife on the legs of that bird. So when they come and hit each other this with the knife, the other person, other bird is getting cut. Blood is coming out and the people are making clapping. Oh, iske murge ne uske murge ko hara diya. Iske bakre ne uske bakre ko hara diya. So all these people are watching and enjoying. So is this world also like that? That God created this material world and now He is just enjoying, watching all people suffer or enjoy, and He is just enjoying. There is sometime another thing happen, especially in Hindi movies. If you watch Hindi movie, this is what hodgepodge philosophy you will get. So in movies, sometimes they show when there is a lot of problem happening in hero's life, that time the hero go to the temple and then he will tell, you are God or stone? Bhagwan ho ke patthar ki murti ho? You can't see how many problems going in my life. I remember in a Amitabh Bachchan movie, there was once dialogue, aaj to bahut khush hoge tum. He is telling God, aaj to bahut khush hoge tum by seeing my problems. So this is how it happens, right? They go to the temple when there is a problem. And when all the problems are solved, have they shown any temple scene at the end? That they are coming and praying God, oh, you control everything and you fixed everything. So people journal blame God when there is some problem happening. At that time, all these things, all these thoughts come. Why did you create this world? Why did you give me so much suffering? Mere saath hi aisa kyun? Why me? Meri zindagi mein aapko kuch khushi achhi nahi lag rahi thi kya? Sometimes these problems happen, right, in our life. Everybody gets some problems. Somebody may be tired of family, some may be tired of spouse, from kids. People claim, ye mere liye hi likha tha ye pati dena. कोई और अच्छा नहीं मिला था, ये पत्नी मेरी ही किस्मत में लिखी थी, ये बच्चा मेरी ही लाइफ में लिखा था. It doesn't obey me. So all these things, and we blame God whenever some problems come. आपकी आपने हमारी लाइफ में कोई अच्छा घर नहीं लिखा था आपके लिए, हमें दो बेडरूम अपार्टमेंट नहीं रहना था. You couldn't have afforded to give me a big luxury car. I am just driving this small Kia Rio or whatever. So when problems come, how to deal with those or how to understand why the things are happening? So first of all, to understand this material world is not a place for our enjoyment. By design, it is designed to provide a correction, as a rectification or as a punishment. So we'll go through that. So there was another instance. Everybody know about Titanic ship. So on the same lines, so when this Titanic was to take its first journey, a lot of people had booked the Titanic seats to go on this first voyage. So there was one farmer family. They also saved a lot of money and they afforded to buy the ticket for the whole family to travel on this Titanic. And just few days before the journey was to start, 2-3 days before, the small child of that family was bitten by the dog. So now when the child is bitten by dog, that time there was no vaccinations or anything. So it has to be kept under observation for the fear of getting rabies. So the doctor did not give the certificate, medical certificate. He said this child need to be under observation for 2 weeks, so you cannot go on to this journey. So this family did not get the medical certificate and they could not travel. Now this farmer, this family was so mad and he was blaming God. Why you did this to me? You could not tolerate me enjoying. I worked so hard, saved so much money to travel on this ship and you could not see me enjoying. And you have my kid bitten by the dog. Why you did this to me? So he was blaming God like anything. And when the Titanic went on his first journey, 2 days later the news came, Titanic sank. Now this same person, when he heard the news, he was overjoyed. Bach gaye. Right? Earlier he was thinking, oh, I could not travel. Now he was glorifying God and giving him thanks. Aapne bacha liya, achha kiya bacche ko kutte se katwa diya. Achha kiya humko ship pe nahi jane diya. अगर हम भी गए होते तो हम भी मर गए होते. सो नाउ इफ यू लुक एट द होल सिचुएशन, देयर आर सो मेनी अदर पीपल हु वेंट ऑन द शिप एंड हु एंडेड अप सिंकिंग डाइंग. दे आल्सो मे हैव थैंक लॉर्ड अर्लियर, राइट? थैंक गॉड, ओह थैंक यू गिविंग मी दिस अपॉर्चुनिटी फॉर ट्रेवलिंग ऑन दिस शिप. नाउ देयर फैमिली मे बी ब्लेस्फेमिंग गॉड, व्हाई यू हैड अवर फैमिली डाइड इन दैट जर्नी. सो नाउ इज इट गॉड टू बी ब्लेम्ड? In that, there is a famous tennis player, Arthur Ashe. Anybody has heard the name? Arthur Ashe, you play tennis. So this person, he was a tennis Wimbledon champion for 7 continuous time or something.
Just once.
Just once? Okay. So he was a Wimbledon champion. And when he won this championship, after some time, he got cancer. And he died out of cancer. So when he got this cancer, he was getting a lot of letters from his fans. Why did this happen to you? You are such a great person. Why did God give you this big disease? So this person, how he replied? He said, every year there are, I don't know, 50,000 or million people who start learning tennis. Every year, so many people enter into the Grand Slam. And out of that, I don't know, 50 people are chosen. And then 4 people enter into the quarters, 2 people enter into the final, and one person gets the trophy. And I was that person. Out of all these people, I got that trophy. I was chosen to receive that trophy. That time I did not ask God, why me? Why you did this to me? What did I do to deserve that? Why should now I ask God, why me? Why you gave this disease to me? So what does it show? When something good happens to us, that time we did not realize that, oh, God has given me so much. Why God chose me to receive all these gifts in life? Such a nice family, such a nice house, such a wonderful friends. When something bad happens, immediately the needle goes to the God. Why me? Why you gave this to me? So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Samoham sarva bhuteshu nam me dveshyati asti na priyah ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya maiti teshu chapyaham. So samoham sarva bhuteshu, I am equal to everybody. I am not envious of anybody. I am not partial to anybody. And I do not envy anybody. It's not that out of some envy to somebody, I send them to suffer. And out of some partiality, I give some opulences to somebody. I am equal to all. So Krishna says, I am equal to all. Everybody, whatever suffering or happiness is coming, it's not that I am favoring somebody or cursing somebody to suffer like that. But then question comes, why did this happen? Why does this happen, all this suffering? Why does this happen? So let's again understand the design of this material world. So he said, Krishna said, this we are sent to this material world when we wanted to enjoy separate from Krishna, envy of Krishna. And this material world is not a place of happiness by design. It's a dukkhalyam and ashashvatam. It's a place of misery and place of, it's a temporary. So to understand this further, let's discuss about city planning. If you plan a new city, if I tell you, okay, we are building a new city for you, tell me what all you would like to have in that city. So what is your wish list? What will you like to have in that city?
Gardens,
school, mall, hospital,
temple,
and then somebody said jail. So we want to have all these facilities. We want to have school, mall, shopping area, then a subdivision for houses. Nobody said subdivision. Everybody want to stay on the roads. So we want to have houses in that, nice houses in the city. School, plaza, hospital, temple, place of worship. And at the same time, when a city is planned, there is a place called jail, prison house. So why is that? Why? What is the need to put a prison house? Because the city knows, the government knows, there will be some people who will like to break the laws, who will not follow the law of the city or state. So that people need to be separated from other law-abiding people. They need to be kept separately. And we need to have a place where those people can be punished and rectified. So every big city planning, all these things are there. There is a prison house. So same way, this material world is like a prison house. If you look from that perspective, this material world is designed like a prison house where people are sent for rectification. So when you go to a prison house, and as soon as you enter into the jail or a police station, if there is a wonderful arati, wonderful welcome ceremony for you, wonderful prasadam, feast waiting for you, you'll say, oh yeah, this is a wonderful place. I want to stay here forever. No need to do anything. Everybody, people are serving me so nicely. So if there is all welcome and all those wonderful things in the jail, nobody will like to come out of that. So in this material world, it's like a prison house. If everything is so wonderful, everything is so enjoyable, there's no problem, people will think, oh, this is a nice place, I want to stay here forever. But here, Krishna has sent us for rectification, for correction. So it's as well as a jail, as well as a hospital. It serves both purpose. When you go to a hospital, you are admitted to a hospital to cure from a disease. If you go to the hospital and if you are treated nicely, if you are provided all the eatables, whatever you want, you will not cure from that disease. So to cure from the disease, doctor will tell you, okay, this is restricted for you. You cannot eat these things. And you have to stay in this circumstances, in this situation, with needles piercing in your body, some medicine flowing into your body and all that. So in this jail, when somebody is sent into the jail, what do they do first thing in the jail or in the hospital? They change your dress, isn't it? When you are admitted to the hospital or when you are taken into the prison house, they will change the dress. So same way, in this material world, we have our original form in the spiritual world. In the material world, we are given a different dress. And that dress is chosen out of the 8.4 million species, 84 lakh. So there are 84 lakh, 8.4 million different dresses available for us to pick from. And that dress is given based on our tendency to enjoy in a certain way. The scriptures define what are the various dresses available, what are the various species of life. Jalaja nava lakshani sthavara laksha vimasti. Karmeo rudra sankhya pakshinama das lakshani. Paravasa trimasa lakshani manushya chatura lakshani. So all these various dresses are available to pick from. There are aquatic lives, 9 lakh various species. So 9 lakh type of dresses available. Plants and trees. Thavara laksha vimasati, 20 lakhs, different species of plants and trees. Insects, 11 lakh. Birds, 10 lakh. Animals, 30 lakh. And finally, human species, 4 lakh. This is, I'm not counting the population. I'm counting the different varieties. It's not that 30 lakh of animals. It's 30 lakh of different type of animals. So if somebody has a tendency to enjoy flesh, he is given a body of a particular beast. If somebody is completely mand buddhi, jada vastu, he is given the species of a become a plant or a tree. Stay at one place without moving. And then the human form is final human form, which is 4 lakh different varieties. Again, human lakh, we think generally, okay, human is one variety, right? What is this 4 lakh different varieties of human form? So human form is also not just one particular form, one particular type. It's also different varieties based on the consciousness level. So like we know, devatas, chanara, gandharava, kinnara, all that are different type of human beings based on their level of consciousness. So like kinnara. Kinnara also is a type of human being. And there is a particular planet which is called Kimlok. And the people who stays there, it's called Kim Purusha. What does Kim Purusha means? Kim Purusha, it's like an exclamation. Kim Purusha, is that Purusha? Is that a human? Why? Because that form is, body looks like a human one, and the face is of a different species. Like in the time of Ramayana. You know about Vanar. Vanar is also one species which is kind of falls into the human variety. Vanar is, looks like the body is like a human and the head, the face is like a monkey. It's Vanar. And then, you know, Jambavan. Right? In Ramayana there was another character called Jambavan. What is that? His body looks like as a human being and the head is like a bear. So that is Kim, Kim Purusha. So there are different type of species, and we are given a particular type of dress based on our desire to enjoy in a particular way. Like we have experience within this material world. If you want to enjoy in a particular way, even though you have a human form, you can put on a particular costume. If somebody wants to go deep into the ocean, you can put on a diving suit. Diving suit is what? You put your outer covering as a fish. Right? Diving suit is nothing but as an imitation dress of a fish. So you can stay in the ocean, deep ocean, for a long time. If you want to go into the space, you can put a space suit. So we know by experience that based on how you want to live, in what circumstances, in what situation, how you want to enjoy, you can put on that type of dress. So similar way, in this material world, there are 84 lakhs of species available, depending on how somebody wants to enjoy. So the dress is changed first, and then in the prison house, a person is kept as shackled. He cannot move. Right? The hands are tied or the legs are tied. The person cannot move beyond certain distance. In this material world, we are also shackled. Now that may be a little interesting concept. We may say, how do I am shackled? I look like I am free. I can move anywhere. Isn't it? So first shackle is we are tied within this body, within this outer dress. And the second restriction is we are tied with the three modes of material nature. So these three modes are like the ropes which are pulling us here and there. Even though externally, visibly, it may look like we are free to move anywhere, but actually we are tied with these three modes of goodness, passion and ignorance. And with the combination of three modes, there are innumerable different combinations formed. So this mode, three modes of material nature, the Sanskrit word is guna. And guna means rope also. So when they make the rope is they take the three strands and they tie them together. And then they take three such strands and they further tie together. Depending on how much strong rope they want to make, they keep twisting the three different ropes together and keep making a different level of strength. And such solid or such strong rope can even tie a big ship. If the ship is anchored with that such a strong rope, even the ship cannot move. So same way, we are tied with these three ropes of three modes of material nature. And we are acting based on that. And who is the controller of that within this material world? As we discussed earlier, Durga Devi. She is the controller within this material world. She is the superintendent. As a person goes to the jail, there is a jailer. Right? In the prison house, there is a superintendent. If a prisoner wants to escape, the superintendent will not let him escape. So same way, in this material world, Durga Devi's job is to keep the people inflected with the three modes. She carries a trident. And the three spokes of the trident are like the representing the threefold miseries imposed upon us. The threefold miseries of Adidevik, Adibhautik and Adiatmik Klesh. And Durga Devi's job is to provide all these different combinations of the dresses and keep them tied under the three modes of material nature. So this is material nature. So we discussed material nature. What is the purpose of this whole material creation, material world? It's not a place of enjoyment. It's a place of rectification. It's a place to get correction and to suffer for our good and bad deeds. And then the next principle comes as Kala. Kala means time. What is time? Time factor. So in Mahabharata serial, if you watch that Mahabharata serial, when the serial starts, they show a chakra. Main samay hoon. Right? This wording comes. Main samay hoon. It says, so Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita. Actually, he says in Bhagavad Gita, Kala Kalyatam Aham. And then another one he says, Kalo Asmi. I am time. I am the Kala. So under the influence of time, all the things happen. Under the influence of times, all the activities we do, if we want to define karma, karma is any activity performed under the influence of three modes of material nature during a certain time. That is called karma. So what is this time factor here? Under the time factor, we see people come and go. People may try to get power, people may try to get a lot of position, but ultimately everything is destroyed with time. And the time is cyclic, like the season, right? Season come and season go. Summer, winter, fall and all that comes in a season and it go. So the time is cyclic and all the yugas are also cyclic. So right now we are in the Kali Yuga. So Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga and Kali Yuga. And it keep going in a cycle. So that briefly is time. I will not go into too much details of time. So under the influence of time, under the modes of nature, we do all these different activity. And the time is so powerful, when we, even though we may try to do everything good, our intentions may be good to do everything good, but under the influence of time, under the influence of the modes, there are so many things which happen as if we are forced to do something. I will end with a little joke. And then the next topic, which is karma, the in-depth understanding of when bad things happen to good people. We will continue with that on the next session. So the joke is, should I say that? Okay. So once a person was using the restroom. Okay, so in the morning he used the restroom and he was getting a bad smell. He was smelling bad and he was wondering from where the smell is coming. So actually the smell was coming when you use restroom, of course, from you know where the smell comes, whatever you have discharged. And this person was wondering from where this smell coming. And then this his stool spoke, his vishta, the passed out, it spoke. Why are you making your nose now? This is me. I'm the samosa. Yesterday night I was in the form of a samosa. And yesterday night you wanted to take association of me. Yesterday night you wanted to enjoy me. And now, when I have been transformed into this, now you are making your nose and all that like that. It is the influence of your association that it happened to me. 6 hours before I was a wonderful samosa. I took your association. I stayed with you. And what happened to me? So same thing, it happens to us. When we are in this material world, even though we are trying to do everything good, we are trying to be good, but with the influence of the external factors, with the influence of modes and time factor, so many things happen with us. So we'll continue with this in the next session. If anybody has any questions so far, we can briefly take that question. But I know a lot of your question will be cleared in the next session. You want me to continue now?
Shall I have?
Okay.
You said Krishna has sent Supreme Lord has sent from Vaikuntha here to enjoy.
To enjoy?
Yeah.
Not to enjoy. I didn't say he has sent us to enjoy here.
He has sent us
to try to enjoy. That okay, you want to be the enjoyer separate from me? I give you a separate place. You can try to enjoy there. But he himself is saying, this place is not for enjoyment. This is Dukhalyam Ashashvatam.
Then, Dukhalyam means why he sent
us? Because we wanted to get separate from him.
If you want to enjoy means, if this is Dukkalaya, then why he sent into Dukkalaya, not for where he has to enjoy.
Okay, what example?
Has to enjoy.
Okay, what did the example I gave? Because we have got this envious tendency, okay, we have got this problem in us that we want to become the Lord ourselves, we want to be the center of enjoyment. So he have to rectify us. And to rectify, if we are sent into a place where you are receiving all the wonderful things, you will not rectify. your problem, your disease will increase. So he has sent us to cure, to get cured from our disease. So the example I gave, the prison house and the hospital. If somebody goes to the jail and he receives all the nice retreats there, nice treatment, everybody receiving nicely, will he like to go out? Will he rectify his mistakes? So we have made a mistake to become the center of enjoyment, center of control, and to rectify of our problem, we have been sent into this place. We think that, oh, I will be happy here, separate from Krishna. We want to be the enjoyer and we try keep doing that. And ultimately, when all our endeavors are frustrated, then people look to God. So the suffering sometime is given to bring us back. I will give another example just to clarify this point. So once a person, a very rich person, he was giving a lot of gifts to everybody. He will say, anybody who want to get gifts, come. So a lot of people will come every day to his home and he will have all the gifts lying there. People will come, take the gifts and go away. And day in, day out, this is happening. And this person realized that, oh, people are coming and receiving all these gifts and nobody is even looking at me. Okay, nobody is even looking at me. They even don't recognize me that, oh, I am providing all these wonderful gifts. So one day, as people were coming, entering the house to receive the gifts, from his balcony, he started throwing the stones. So now people looked up and he saw the person. Now this person was very amazed. Oh, see, finally people are looking at me. All these days I was providing all these necessities, all the gifts and all. Nobody is paying attention. And now I'm throwing stones, now people are looking at me. So that is our situation. Actually, that is the situation of our relation with God. God is providing all the necessities of life. God has provided everything. The air, light, heat, water, all these necessities of life are given by God. And people do not recognize who is the provider, who is the controller, who is giving us all that. But if we become so engaged in just receiving and think, oh, I'm very happy here, I want to stay here forever, we will not be able to go and attain the ultimate happiness, which is waiting for us in the spiritual world, where we can be free from any anxiety, any problem at all. In the spiritual world, everything is fulfilled just by desiring, just by thinking. In the spiritual world is called everything, every house, every wall, every pillar is made of touchstone. Desire fulfilling. So it's, you desire, you wish anything and immediately that thing appears. You want rasgulla, rasgulla comes. You want to have a nice beds come. So it's a desire fulfilling. But if that thing happen here we will not be able to tolerate that, even that, if that happens. So if Krishna is providing all the needs to us here, and if we become very comfortable here, we will not try to go where we can get ultimate happiness. So the sufferings are provided as a means to bring us back to the original position. Now we should not think all the sufferings are just for that reason. Suffering also doesn't come whimsically. Again, we will discuss in more detail in the next session. So the ultimate point, just to answer your question, this place is designed as a place for rectification. Just understand that simple principle. This place is to correct us. As in a prison house, the person comes in the jail, with the judge sends the person, gives that imprisonment with the desire that this person will be rectified. And once he is rectified, he will be released back to come and stay in the normal world.
In Vaikuntha, are the soul directly interact with Supreme Lord?
Yes.
Okay. When there is a Lord, directly we are interacting with Supreme Lord, that time soul itself made a mistake. Because of that we came here. Now we cannot interact with God.
We can. That's a mistake. We think I cannot interact with God. We can interact with God. When somebody designs this material world.
To interact with that, again we have to go into the depth and all.
No, see.
Like, in this spiritual things, what you are now here, telling like Bhagavata Mandal, understand those things and enter into fully. Mm-hmm. Maybe that stage we may interact with Supreme Lord. But if in this material world, to enter into the, that stage, it is very difficult.
Yes, it is very difficult.
Very difficult. In that case, how come we keep on make mistakes itself?
Mm-hmm.
Then how come it is possible us to go again?
It is possible. It's Krishna is giving the assurance. It is possible in 1 minute. Prabhupada said it's possible in 1 minute. You can go back, you can approach Krishna in 1 minute. And Krishna gives that assurance in Bhagavad Gita. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshishyami ma shuchah. And Krishna gives a full assurance, full guarantee. Just surrender unto me. Ma shuchah, do not fear. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo. I will release you from all the sinful reaction. The only thing is, are we willing to surrender to Krishna? As soon as we become surrender to Krishna, as soon as we become willing to surrender to Krishna, Krishna is making all the arrangement. It is just our eagerness to serve Krishna, to surrender to Krishna. So again, the example I gave last time to you, you came to this association. Yes, you may have a little desire, but who made the arrangement? Was it all your control? Somebody made arrangements, right? For some reason, somehow you came in touch with this to understand this philosophy in a more deeper systematic way. So that's not whimsical. There is a plan behind that. So everything has a plan. When a city is developed, it has a plan. Krishna has a plan when somebody comes in this material world, how that person will be rectified based on his tendency, the degree of his enviousness and degree of his offensiveness. That person will go through that. But as soon as somebody is willing to surrender, Krishna will make arrangement.
And if you look at Indra, right? Indra has so much enjoyment, but he keeps on suffering. Like he becomes the enemy of Krishna. He kills his own guru, right? It's full of pleasure, but still he keeps on making mistakes. So this is the only place where you get the chance to go all the way back to Vaikuntha Loka, to the spiritual world. Like Indra Loka is still in the material universe, even though he has so much enjoyment. So this is a better opportunity than even Indra Loka or Brahma Loka.
Yes,
Prabhu.
Being a soul,
and it is itself a
complete happiness and
peace.
So why do soul think of enjoying separate from Krishna?
Okay, so this is the most frequently asked question when we talk on this topic. Why in first place we thought of enjoying separate from Krishna? And Krishna, even though yes, soul is in spiritual world, we are full of Satchitanand, soul is full of Satchitanand, eternity, knowledge and bliss. Why in first place soul decided or desire to enjoy separate from Krishna? Now that desire comes from free will. Okay? And Krishna does not interfere with anybody's free will. We have a minute free will. Even though things are not in our control, but we are given with the free will to choose what we want to do. And Krishna does not interfere with that free will. If there is no free will, then we will be like a robot. Right? If you cannot choose anything, you cannot decide anything, everything is predetermined, pre-decided for you, then you are no more than a robot. But we have been given a free will, the freedom to choose what we want to do. And out of that minute free will, when the living entity desires to enjoy separate from Krishna, that is where the problem comes. But once we have experienced that, once we go back to the spiritual world, that is the end of the story. After that, there is no more coming and going back. And Krishna himself said, right, once somebody attains to that spiritual world, after experiencing this, once somebody returns back to the spiritual world, he does not come back. Because then we have got this experience. No, I don't want to go do that again. I don't want to experience that again.
Yeah, this is what I am making the mistake multiple.
When we are in, once we have come to this material world, now we are making the mistakes.
Yeah,
right? Once
same
we.
Mistake I'm making multiple times.
Right, here, because here we get conditioned by the three modes of nature. In spiritual world, there is no conditioning of three modes. We are making repeated mistake within this material world because of the influence of the modes of nature which are acting upon us.
Yeah.
And longer we stay in the conditioned state, longer that conditioning is. As a child, the conditioning will be less. Isn't it? A child does not know, okay, I should eat this or that. Whatever you are giving, child will eat. But as they are growing, then they get conditioning. They get experience. Oh, I am eating nice pizza every day. Now I want to eat pizza only. And then it becomes hard to break that conditioning. In the childhood, you don't have any conditioning to watch a particular serial or a movie or anything, or watch TV for a sake. But as you grow older, in an old age, there is so much conditioning, you cannot stay without watching. Right? In India, there is so much of TV serials and all, and people get addicted of watching all the Sas Bahu serials. And it's hard to give up those because of the conditioning. So from our within this life itself, we can see as the conditioning grows more and more, it becomes hard to cut down that conditioning. So same way, longer we stay within this material world, we have accumulated so much of conditioning that we are going through different life species. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, as the air carries aroma, so the living entities carries the different conceptions of life and going from one species to another. Somebody thinks in this life, oh, this male body is not enjoyable. I wish I was a female or attracted to a female body. Okay, next life take a female body. Oh, this life condition is not suitable. I wish I could have that situation. Okay, take that situation. Oh, I wish I could have eaten the, I wanted to live the life of a tiger. Okay, a fearsome beast. No fear of anybody. You become a tiger. So as the different conceptions arise, living entity keep going through different species. So as the air carries aroma. Air goes through a garden, it carries the aroma of nice flowers. The same air passes through a gutter, it gets the aroma of a gutter. That stinking smell.
Any soul has gone back to Vaikuntha?
There are many.
Many, okay. Are the soul are not telling
the
other soul, don't go to material world?
Yes, there are. We become so envious that we choose. No, I want to experience. So there are different type of entities. Just to give example again. Nice questions. This is how you will clarify the questions.
There is a comment there. There is a, I don't know whether you understand Hindi, but there is a Urdu saying. Lamone khatakriti sadhyo ne sada paye, which means that you make a small mistake, but the effects are too big. Now, you make, where you are coming from is, okay, I've made a mistake, I've made this thing that I want to enjoy. Now, do I have to go through this all thing cycle again and again and again and again? Why that long? See it as relationship of a son and a father and a son. Either by mistake or by choice, whichever situation you are in, son or father. Son says, okay, I want to go and enjoy. I want to have my own house. I want to have my own two-bedroom, this. By choice or by mistake, whatever. And the father let him go. Now, if he is realizing that, oh, I made a mistake or I should not have done it, there is no, now, but because of the ego, or something, he just does not want to come back. He just does not want to come back. Which means that he will keep going through this for many years for that one single mistake that he made, like one single word. But the day he wants to realize that, he doesn't even need to spell anything. He doesn't need to say anything. All he wants to come is that, come and hug his dad. And dad will forget everything. Whether by mistake or by choice. So that is the simplicity of this. You want to have that because of envy, because of ego, because of all that prakriti. You want to, I mean, one can keep going through this circle as long as possible. But if you have a sincere desire, it's so simple to just come back and surrender. Thakur, I made this mistake. That's the back to Godhead. That's like a simple comment. Okay. That I...
Thank you, Rahul. Nice example. So hope it clarifies. Anybody has any other question or comment? Otherwise we'll end here.
So many souls already went to Vaikuntha. How you will tell how all those went?
Krishna is himself telling. Okay, and he is giving so many of examples in the scripture. Krishna has told. There are so many stories we find in the scripture. How the living entities have achieved Krishna. So, that is the faith you get from the scripture. We believe, again the example goes, we believe in so many other nonsense things. Who are telling things just for their own benefit. And we trust all that. And when it comes to accepting the words of the Supreme Lord, accepting the words of the scripture, we get so much doubt. Oh, does this really happen? Did it really happen? So we have to accept it at certain level out of faith. And it's not a blind faith. Anything you are accepting, even accepting science, even you are accepting Darwin theory, that also you are accepting out of faith. You have not seen any species change from one form to another. Have you seen a monkey change into a human? But you are accepting it out of faith. You have faith in Darwin. But we cannot accept the words of the scripture because of the little lack in faith yet. So we need to develop that faith. And when we develop that faith, Krishna makes that faith stronger. And he gives us the live examples to understand that. Let's not go into all the deep philosophies here.
This is just an extension from whatever Sanjeeva asked. I'm not
Sanjeeva?
Yeah. I'm not that much convinced. So initially I'm with Rao. Okay, how come the requirement is right? How come the darkness comes?
I know we have discussed that earlier also. Yes. And I don't want to convince you at this time. You will get the conviction by your own realization. Because if I keep telling you the words, if I try to convince you, it's not going to happen. With different examples. And we can talk separately also on this particular point.
Best thing is to read the scripture, keep the Bhagavatam, to start getting the realization.
Okay, so we'll stop here and please don't miss to attend the second part. Like you, there is a movies come in parts, right? Bahubali part 1, and people are waiting for Bahubali part 2. So today was part 1. Don't miss part 2. So thank you very much. We'll stop here and we'll continue with Narasimha prayer. If we can have all the kids come here.